Deuteronomy chapter 32, we'll look at what is important to God, and today we'll look at his people. What is important to God, and today we'll look at his people. His people. And this actually ties right in with this morning's message. It's ironic how that happens when you're putting two separate messages together and they just tie right in with each other. The morning message is, if Jehovah is your God, and we'll look at the various blessings based upon that. Jehovah being our God, but this message is called What is Important to God, and it's his people, his people. Deuteronomy 32 verses 9 to 11. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He hath found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So far in this study, we've looked at how God's name is important to him. We've looked at how God's glory is important to him, and he will not share it with anyone else, which is the opposite of how religion is, right? With grace, we want to give God all the glory. In religion, the man wants to get all the glory. We've been taught by God that his glory is so important to him that he will not share it with anyone else. And we also looked at how his word is important to him. His word is so important to him that he's exalted it over his name. And we looked at how his grace is important to him. And this is why works-based religion is so vile. Because we're either saved by God's grace or we're not saved at all. And so God's grace is important to him, because we are only saved by God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that grace is given to us in Christ. In Christ. That's, as I say, that's why works-based religion is so vile, because it spits in the face of God. It really does. And then we looked at how his son is important to him, and how we are saved by Christ and him alone, through faith in Christ. And our faith is set upon Christ and him alone. It's not, there was a time when we were unsaved, when we were trusting in ourselves to gain merit and favor with God. Now the believer trusts in Christ alone, based upon his works, based upon his merit. Absolutely nothing in us at all. So we looked at how his son is important to him. Today, I'd like us to consider how his people are important to him. His people are important to him. And we'll be looking at how God's people are important to him. We know that the elect of God are God's covenant people, right? We know that. We know that. God's elect are God's covenant people. They are called the sheep of God. The sheep of God. And do you know that every single one of his people are important to him? Every single sheep. If you're a sheep of God, you're important to God. Every one of you. And do you know that we were chosen in Christ the same time Paul was chosen? The same time Peter was chosen? You ever think of that? In eternity, in Christ. Isn't it marvelous? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. How important is God's people to him? Important enough for God to send his only begotten son into the world to die for them upon Calvary's cross, to redeem them with his own precious blood. God's sheep are the apple of his eye. Look at Deuteronomy 32:10. And we know contextually this is talking about Israel, but we also know that Israel is a picture of the church. It's a picture of the church. Look at Deuteronomy 32:10. He found him in the desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Beloved, we were in the desert of our sin, in the wilderness of sin. And God called us by his grace. We were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Just as others. And God, by his grace, saved us. And he granted us faith and repentance to believe upon him, to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does this for every single one of his sheep. This week I had the privilege, or on Monday I had the privilege of going back to my home where I grew up. My mom still lives in the house that I was raised in. But this morning, coming across and coming into the study, it struck me. You got to go back to the rock you were hewn from. And never forget where you came from. Never forget the wilderness we were in, the pit we were in. And I remember having no care for God growing up. No concern for my soul. But God, by his almighty grace, saved my soul. And if you're one of his sheep, he did the same for you. And he does it for every single one of his sheep. Everyone. The text we read here in Deuteronomy 32 is speaking of Israel of old, and God found them in bondage, right? They were groaning under the oppression in Egypt. Groaning under the oppression. They were unable to free themselves. Is this not where Christ found us? Were we not under the oppression of our sins? Groaning under the oppression of our sins, in spiritual bondage to our sins. In Egypt, which is a picture of the world, is that not where we were? Under sin and Satan, and we could find no escape. No escape at all. And the Lord found us in that state. He found us. We weren't looking for him. He found us in that state. He found us cast out and enslaved to our sin and turned his eye upon us. We his sheep. Ezekiel says this, "None eye pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born." That was us. In the wilderness of sin. No eye pitied us. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, thou wast in thy blood, live. Live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Ezekiel 16, verses 5 and 6. Lazarus, come forth. That was what we were. Dead. And he's made us alive, beloved. Because we're important to him. We're important to God. And as a shepherd takes the lost sheep and he puts it upon his shoulder, the Lord Jesus Christ has done this for us, nourishing us and teaching us by the Holy Spirit of God the great things of salvation, the great things of himself. And he's done it with tenderness with us, hasn't he? It's wonderful, beloved. We're the apple of his eye. His love has been set upon us from eternity. From eternity. And this is why God's people love to hear the gospel. This is why we love to hear the gospel, beloved. Because we look back at the state we were in and we see where the Lord took us from. Saving us from our sins when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Regenerating us, making us alive in Christ. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Tokens of his grace are all through our lives. Think back before you were even saved. The Lord took care of you even then. Oh, and it makes Christ and it makes his grace more and more precious to us, more magnificent in our eyes. Do you see why he becomes our all in all? Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Verses 1 and 2. Oh, God's people are precious to him. Look at Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Who are those who follow after righteousness? Those who follow Christ. Those who follow Christ. He is righteousness, right? He's all our righteousness. Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 2. Ye that seek the Lord. Who are those who seek the Lord? His people. Those who are made willing by the Holy Spirit to flee to Christ. Look unto the rock whence ye were hewn. Never forget where you came from, beloved. Into the hole of the pit whence you are digged. We were in a pit and we couldn't get out. But help comes from above, beloved. Help comes from above. Look unto Abraham your father and Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Hawker has a comment on this passage here, it's just an absolute gem. He said this, you and I shall never be able to rightly value the Lord's righteousness until convinced that we have none of our own. We'll never know the value of the Lord's righteousness till he's shown us we have none of our own, no righteousness of our own. Then he goes on to say this, then Jesus will be indeed precious as a Savior when we feel and know and are convinced that we are poor, lost sinners. End quote. Isn't that magnificent? What a wonderful quote. We'll never value the Lord's righteousness until we're convinced that we have absolutely none of our own. And then we flee to him. And he becomes precious because we're poor, lost, as some preachers say, and I love this, bankrupt sinners. Right? Yeah. Oh, the Lord's so good to us. The Lord Jesus Christ, turn if you would to John chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that the Holy Ghost would accomplish this upon their hearts, that they would seek the Lord. That they would seek the Lord. And he shall convince, said Jesus, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Here convict us of our sins. The Holy Spirit does that. Look at John chapter 16, verses 8 to 10. And when he has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So he's the one who convicts us of our sin. He's the one who points us to Christ. He's the one who teaches us of Christ. He's the one who regenerates us when we're dead in trespasses and sins. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. God's people are important to him, and his eye is ever upon them. He watches over them, and God cares for us as a gardener cares for his garden. He weeds out the weeds and watches over us, puts soil around us, waters us. He cares for us, and his eye is ever upon us, beloved. And this gives the believer great comfort. Great comfort. Do you know that God created this world for us and to manifest his glory? He created this world for us to live in, to enjoy, and he just spoke it into existence by his sovereign power. It manifests, does it not manifest his glory? Does it not manifest his sovereignty? And do you know that it was for us that he came into this world? For his sheep? The only reason he came into this world was to redeem us, was to purchase us, was to weave a coat of righteousness that we are now clothed in. He came into this world for his sheep, beloved, for every single one of them. For every single one of them, because they're important to him. They were given to him by the Father in eternity. And he covenanted to redeem them and purchase them with his own precious blood. So he left the glories of heaven to accomplish this. This is wonder of wonders that he did this. Look at John 17. Look at this, verse 4. We'll read the verse 10. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So the Father gave him a work to do, to redeem his people from their sins, to perfectly uphold the law and justice of God, to live a perfect life which we could never live. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He set aside his glory for us. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast givest, that which thou gavest me out of the world. Now note that. He's the one who reveals himself. We don't know God naturally. And he does this for all his sheep. He manifests himself. He reveals himself to us. Which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. When did he give them to him? In eternity, beloved. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them. And have known surely that I come from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. He prays for his people. He doesn't pray for everyone. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. If you're the Lord's sheep, you're his. Isn't that wonderful? You see why God's people are important to him? Because they're his sheep. They're his. They're his by choosing. They're his by decree. My. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine, which means all that you give me are mine, and they're yours too. And I am glorified in them. See, we don't glorify in ourselves, do we? We glorify in Christ. We glorify him. Do you know that it's for us that Christ rules the world? Do you know that all things work for good for us? According to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There's the key. To them that are, who are the called according to his purpose. I remember a grace preacher one time telling me a long time ago, he said all the medical breakthroughs in the world, whether they're operations or medicine, is for the elect's sake. And everyone else gets the residual effects. Think of that, beloved. That's pretty amazing. When we ponder that God's sheep are important to him, it leaves us in absolute awe. Sinners. Sinners by birth, nature, and choice are important to him. But let us remember, again, it is for us that Christ sustains this world. All things, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So that means that all things, that Christ sustains the world, and the world exists for the welfare and for the benefit of his people. That means that when the sun shines and the rain falls, we know it falls upon the just and the unjust. And when the crops grow, when animals eat and get bigger, it's all for God's people. And everyone else just receives the residual effects of it. Trees grow, we cut them down, we build houses, make paper out of it. All these things come from our sovereign God. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Isn't it amazing? 1 John says this, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We're not what we're going to be. We're not what we used to be. but we're not what we're going to be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 23. God's people are so important to him that he loves and cares for his people. And here we see God's love manifested to his people. God's people are the family of God by his choice and by his decree. And as a shepherd cares and watches over his flock, so he watches over his people and cares for them and leads them to green pastures, which is the green pastures of his word. And he provides and cares and protects for his sheep. Always remember this. I remember reading a commentator years ago, and this just stuck with me. It's never went away. He said, remember that the shepherd has a responsibility to care for the sheep. The Lord's our shepherd. He has a responsibility to care for his sheep, and he does. He'll not let one of them go. He loves us, he cares for us, he feeds us, he provides for us. He's a loving shepherd. Look at this. The Lord. Now we all know there, Jehovah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What do we have want for? All our spiritual blessings, all our spiritual needs are fulfilled in Christ. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, all the green pastures of his word, where we feed like sheep and we feast on the clover of his word. And God's people, they won't settle for anything but clover. They won't go where the gospel's not being preached. They want to feast on the clover of God's word, on the preaching of God's free and sovereign grace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You notice, it's the Lord doing it all. Now, we know we actively flesh out our faith, don't we? But he's the one who brings us to the word. He's the one who teaches us. He's the one who feeds us. He's the one who gives us water to drink. Look at this. He restoreth my soul. He's the one who does it. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his glory, for his honor, for his praise. He leads us. He preserves us, keeps us through this life. Otherwise, we'd be gone. Right? Sheep just wander away. They just wander on. He keeps us. He leads us in the paths of his righteousness. And our righteousness is only from him. And it's all for his name's sake. It's all for his glory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, some commentators say that this is when we die. And others say that we're currently walking through the valley of the shadow of death. This world. I think both are applicable. Because this world can be a valley of the shadow of death, can't it, sometimes? My goodness. And he leads us. He says, I will fear no evil. David says this, for thou art with me. So God is ever with us, ever present with us in our life and in our death. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember, the staff is a crook, and he can just gently bring the sheep back if it's wandering the wrong way. My, what a great God we have. What a shepherd we have. And then look at this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We feast amidst our enemies in peace. Our enemies are all around us in this world. And we come here and we feast on the gospel. We feast. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. One commentator said this last verse, the two sheepdogs of God, goodness and mercy, keeping the sheep in line, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In one day, right? We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. We'll be with him forever. See, sometimes we read a psalm like that, and it's so familiar to us, and there's so much more in that. I did a whole series on verse by verse. There's so much more in that psalm, too. But it's, do you see how wonderful, how comforting it is when we just look at each verse and see how it's the Lord continuously providing for us, continuously taking care of us all the time. He's wonderful. So, and why does he do that? Because we're important to him. We're his covenant people. We're the ones that the Father gave to Christ. We're the ones who God the Father chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he chose us, seeing us in our sin. So no merit on our own, nothing. All but the free grace and mercy of God in Christ and him alone. What a God. What a Savior we have. Ephesians 1:4 says this. And think upon this. When we consider that God's people are important to him, let's trace back. Let's trace back to the foundation and the formation of God's church. And it reaches back to eternity, beloved. Ephesians 1. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. There's the formation. There it is. The foundation, God's choosing. The formation, God chose us in Christ. All the way back, it reaches to eternity. And you know, it keeps going out to eternity. Because we'll be with him one day. My. It reaches back to eternity. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. I love that. Without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. There it is. There's the reason. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, accepted in Christ. There's where our acceptance is before God, only in Christ alone. So we see God's church, the elect, chosen in Christ, who is the bridegroom, and we are the bride of Christ, and he was set up from everlasting. Proverbs chapter 8 says this, I was set up from everlasting, being Christ. Proverbs 8:23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. My. Can we even grasp that with our little minds, you know? Christ was set up from everlasting to be the surety and the savior of his people, and we were chosen in Christ. From everlasting. It's too much for my brain. And we see, that's why God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. He is so far above us. He's a great God. A sovereign king. Psalm 2:6 says this, yet have I set my king upon the hill, my holy hill of Zion. His king, Christ. Christ. He's the word from eternity who was with God, and he is God, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. At the creation and division of the earth, the boundaries of men as well as the church were all fixed by his infinite wisdom, beloved. And he orders all things according to his divine will. Don't be troubled. Everything is occurring according to his will. The things we see going on in the world. He's not abdicated his throne. It's God working out his purpose. My. That gives us comfort as believers. That gives us comfort. Let's look again at our text in Deuteronomy 32:9. You know, God hath made of one blood all nations of men, right? All nations. All us men upon this earth, men and women, we're all of one blood. and were all the works of his hand. But here he particularly calls Israel his portion. And we know Israel is a picture of the church. Look at this. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So God has made of all men one blood, all nations, and they are the works of his hands. But here he particularly calls Israel his portion. His portion. What a picture of the church, beloved. We are the Israel of God. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Do you know that the Lord's people are the Israel of God? The Israel of the Lord are as a garden of the Lord among the world's wilderness. The Israel of God is as a garden among the world's wilderness. We're fenced in. We're protected. God's people are the Israel of God, chosen of God. They're his portion. They're his sheep. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm sorry, I said 5. Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So he's battling works-based religion here, which are telling the Galatians, the Judaizers, are telling them you have to be circumcised or be under the law to be saved. And he's saying no, but a new creature, born again, the Holy Spirit of God. That's the circumcision of God, the circumcision of the heart. You're born again. And he deals with that in Galatians itself. But look at this in verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. There it is, beloved. God's people are the Israel of God. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. This people of God, the Lord has said, of his people, his elect, that he's formed them for himself. Do you know that you're a form for himself, for God? You're a trophy of his grace. Every believer. Every believer is a trophy of the grace of God. Sometimes we feel insignificant. Sometimes we feel like me. Every believer is a trophy of God's grace. And every believer was formed by God. Look at this, Isaiah 43:18-21. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Think of us in the wilderness of sin, in the desert of sin. And now we have water and life. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. My. And they shall sow forth my praise. Isn't that magnificent, beloved? It's wonderful. And we say, me? God says, I have formed you for myself, that ye might show forth my praise. What a God. Deuteronomy says this. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 8. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. We know he's speaking of Israel here, but as I said, Israel is a picture of the church in the Old Testament. But because the Lord loved you, why are we saved? Because the Lord loved you. Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord bought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you. He bought us out of Egypt. He bought us out of sin. He bought us out of the world. He redeemed us. He purchased us with his own precious blood. out of the house of the bondman and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, we're almost done. God reveals Christ to a particular people of his choosing. And they're not the wise, they're not the prudent, they're babes. And what a thought to make our hearts soar that God has a people that belong to him. They're his portion, and you'll not lose one of them. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And David cries out this, and this is God's people cry out, knowing that we are important to him, knowing we're his portion. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. So we have seen from scriptures today that the reason God's people are important to him is that he chose them, he formed them, and they are his portion, and he gave them to Christ in eternity. And Christ has redeemed us and clothed us, redeemed us by his blood and clothed us in his perfect righteousness. And then we will be in his presence forever. Praise be to God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne, thankful, so thankful and grateful that you sought us out. Oh, that we were loved by you from eternity. It leaves us in awe of who you are, of what you've done, because we know that we never would have sought thee. And so we praise thee and give you thanks and glory for our Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.